Good evening, everybody. Welcome to today's podcast where I get to interview Stephanie, the owner of Sweet Elderberry Syrup, a national brand here in the U.S., and she shares with us a little bit of how she went from working in pharmaceutical sales to now being the owner of an organic elderberry syrup company. Really, really fascinating story. And I think also if you're someone who is at home and you're a mom and you have an itch for a creative outlet, this might also be a really great and interesting episode for you to listen to too, as an encouragement of what one small Facebook post can do and totally change someone's life. So sit down, grab a cup of tea, and I hope you enjoy.
I think the best place to start is obviously what you shared with me. I think what a lot of people would be interested to know is how did the diagnosis that your husband received, which if you can kind of fill us in around that, and you like kind of bring you to the land of elderberry syrups and holistic living and, you know, starting your own company?
Yeah, so absolutely. So right after I got married, my husband was in like literally a couple weeks, he was diagnosed with chronic myelogenous leukemia, which is CML. And it's a pretty rare type of leukemia, which is luckily it's very treatable. So he has to take a very toxic medication for the rest of his life that does a lot of liver damage. But we're very fortunate to have this medication because before it was available, the only treatment was a bone marrow transplant, which, are very risky.
Right.
So before his diagnosis, I actually worked in pharmaceutical sales.
Okay.
And so made a huge shift going to elderberry natural remedies. But I had just no knowledge of nutrition and anything holistic. I mean, I thought chiropractors were quacks. I mean, anything my doctor told me to do, I did. I was on several different medications and it kind of ate whatever I wanted and really never ever looked at an ingredient label. And then he was diagnosed, and one of my mom's dear friends, her name is Toni Branner, who she's kind of a well-known health advocate in Charlotte, called me and took us out to lunch and talked to me and my husband about the connection between diet and disease. And she encouraged me to read the book, The China Study, which is, have you read that book?
I haven't.
Oh my God. Oh, you have it or you haven't?
No, I have not read it.
Okay. It is an amazing book. And it's, I think they said it's the largest scientific study ever done. And it's just fascinating. And it's all about how a plant-based diet, or at least eating at least a 90% plant-based diet, literally turns off cancer. Or like it's a really, really interesting book. And it's all like filled with scientific studies, and it's just fascinating. Yeah. She talked to us about that, and that just kind of flipped a switch in me. And I kind of made this connection between, and I started changing the makeup that I used and household products and our diet. I actually went full vegan for a while.
Yeah.
And then I kind of backed off on that and went vegetarian for a long time. And now I follow like an 80-20 lifestyle.
Yeah.
But it just, it kind of my goal became to try and minimize my husband's liver damage risk, or like what kind of control what I could for, because every time you take a medicine, it damages your liver.
Yeah.
Or like an over-the-counter medicine, or it does liver damage. Mm-hmm. And so my goal became to kind of help keep him as healthy as I could, to reduce any further liver damage. So the kind of liver damage we can control. And, we changed up our diet a lot. And, started seeing an integrative physician. And I actually eventually, I don't take any over-the-counter medications anymore or prescription medications anymore, and take a bunch of supplements. But that is when I learned about elderberry syrup. I started researching just kind of holistic ways to support your immune health. Mm-hmm. And this was, about 11, almost 11 years ago now. And learned about elderberry syrup. And this was before it became really popular. And started making it. And we both really liked it a lot. And we found that it helped with our allergies. And I used to always get like a crash and burn flu every mm-hmm. year. And just from being run down and would always get the flu. And I didn't get the flu that year. I started making the syrup. And then if we would get a little cold or something, we would start taking the syrup every like 3 to 4 hours. And we were just amazed how it would knock it out.
Yeah.
And then when we had our daughter, we started giving it to her when she was old enough at 12 months. And because it has the honey, so you can't have it before then. But
right.
She never got the snotty, runny noses that little kids get. She never missed preschool. And I mean, we just loved this stuff.
Yeah.
And it just became a big part of our daily routine, taking our syrup every morning. And then, it's been almost exactly 6 years now. That was when the mom's Facebook groups started popping up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one in Charlotte called Micket, Moms in Charge, and where moms would like sell things and you'd do the porch pickup deal. And
yeah.
And then some moms started selling things that they made, kind of like a little side gig.
Yeah.
And I have a marketing background and an MBA, and I was a stay-at-home mom and kind of itching for a little creative outlet or a little side gig. And I thought, I wonder if anybody would want to try this elderberry syrup. And this was really before it became really popular. Mm-hmm. And so I took a nice picture of it and put it in a cute little mason jar and put some little raffia around the top and mm-hmm. Did a good little marketing write-up and thinking I'd have a handful of moms that wanted to try a bottle.
Right.
And I had, I think it was 130 moms that wanted to try it.
Wow.
And which was just awesome. And so I quickly had to figure out how to, mass produce it.
Right.
And make it safely and legitimately. And so one of my friends owns the commercial kitchen at the Dowd Y, and she let me use her kitchen, and I got a bunch of the mason jar, but I started making a bunch of it. And then, and I started getting great feedback and mom saying, oh my gosh, my kid has had this cold for weeks and I've tried all these different medications and all this different, and this, and the syrup, I can't believe it knocked it out. Or, several moms saying, my kids are always getting sick. They're picking up everything at school and we've been taking your syrup every morning and they haven't gotten sick since. Yeah. Or, they did get the flu and oh my gosh, they only had a fever for, a few hours and they were knocked it out in 24 hours, just right. And so kind of it spread word of mouth and repeat customers. And that was 6 years ago. And now, we've grown like crazy and have several products now. And I know we've got over 200 retailers across the country that sell it.
Yeah, that's incredible. So So talk a little bit about, I know obviously you all loved elderberry and you tried it, but what was it that kind of drew you to that over, say, like, I'm sure you were trying other things too, like supplements along the way for your husband. Did you just find it to be the most effective thing in terms of like immune support, or was it like, did you read a lot about it and you were just like, you know, what was the first thing? Did you read an article, a blog, like what brought you to elderberry? And then when you tried it, you felt like it was different than, you know, other things that you had tried.
You know, I had a couple different holistic remedy books that talked about elderberry, and then I found a recipe and made it. And but I think like the big thing for us was we loved the way it tastes.
Yeah.
So there's so many different remedies out there that taste so bad.
Right.
And you just, oh God, I took cod liver oil and Rosita's cod liver oil. And it was just awful. It was just awful. But elderberry syrup is that wonderful combination of it's delicious and it's incredible for you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what kind of made it a long-lived part of our day, or like remedy for us, was we loved the taste and you know, quickly saw the results.
Yeah. So when you obviously, so you talked about the Facebook piece of it, and so what was the like? Okay, I made it for like 130 moms to you being like, should I make this into like a legitimate business? Like, kind of walk us through like what that looked like.
Well, it all happened like really quickly to make it, because I wanted to make it legitimately. Like, so there's a lot of, well, you're not supposed to make it commercially or sell it and make it in your home. Mm-hmm. That's not allowed in North Carolina. Okay. And so I quickly had to figure out like the rules to become, or the steps I needed to take to become a legitimate business. Like, I got the right insurance and became an LLC and got the commercial kitchen. And one thing is it was a porch pickup situation at the beginning, and there would be traffic jams in my driveway. And I think my neighbors, they were building a house and there were all these workers over there. And I think they thought I was like dealing drugs or something, because all these like minivans would come, or SUVs would come to my house and pick something up and quickly leave. But that wasn't really sustainable, like all these cars coming to my house.
Right.
And it wasn't convenient for everybody. So I started, you know, my Berrybrook Farms was my very first retailer. And then I got Provisions in Waxhaw, which is, you know, a good drive from where we lived. And and then I just tried to start getting places around that would be kind of convenient for people to pick them up. But then I started adding more and more retailers, and demand increased, and the flu season of 2017, I don't know if you remember it, but it was a really bad flu season. And they started talking about elderberry syrup on the news. I don't know if it was Dr. Oz or.
Yeah, maybe even Dr. Axe.
Yeah, Dr. Axe talked about it. I mean, there were several people in the media started talking about, and the demand was insane. Like, I literally could have sold as much as I could have gotten out there.
Yeah.
And then the same situation in March of 2020, like the demand was unlimited. But we had kind of limited capacity or ability to produce. We were using a co-packer at the time. But now I bought my own kitchen last September. And that was one of our goals, is if there's a situation like that again, where there's just unlimited demand, we wanted to be able to jump on that. And we've got the setup now, which is an exciting potential.
What made you want to go into, I know you offer like the DIY kits. Was that, I felt like I saw you saying that was part of the demand. You offer the DIY kits. Is that right?
It was. So the do-it-yourself kits, it's a great economical option because mm-hmm. it produces 2 pints. And you do provide the sweetener of your choice. So you can, if you don't want to use honey, you can use like agave or coconut nectar. But it produces two pints for like $19.99. But that was a great kind of alternative that we could make ourselves in a, mm-hmm. a commercial kitchen when the chefs that we had hired, the co-packers, kind of couldn't produce as much as we wanted.
Right. Okay.
And that's still a great option for do-it-yourself folks.
Yeah.
And there's so many moms out there that just want it done. They're like, I don't have time to do that. Or like, I don't need another thing. But then there's a lot that do like I probably, if I didn't own an elderberry syrup business, I'd probably buy do-it-yourself kits.
Yeah, I bought a couple of them, I remember, because I was like, oh, that's awesome. I can just make them. And I do remember thinking to myself, I'm like, these are actually like a better deal than like buying the. So I do remember looking at those being like, well, I can do that. That's simple enough. Yeah. And I think what's cool about it, too, is that if you use a different sweetener, then you potentially could offer it to various ages because you wouldn't have to worry about like the honey factor.
Absolutely. And that was one of the big reasons that we decided to start. We have now our extract and our tincture, which are both sugar-free and honey-free. So those are safe for infants.
Yeah. What's the, what are the difference between like an extract? You have a shrub too. Is that right? Is that the tincture?
We do that. Well, the shrub is, I call it like a drinking vinegar.
Okay.
So the shrub is apple cider vinegar based, and gosh, okay. It's so good. So apple cider vinegar was one of the health changes I tried to incorporate into my life, and I just couldn't do it. Like I would have to doctor it up so much. It's so awful.
Yeah,
it is up there with cod liver oil. And so I heard about shrubs, and a shrub is a apple cider vinegar based drink. And so back in colonial days, they used to preserve fruit in vinegar. And so they would eat the fruit, but then they found that the vinegar kind of tasted good because it would kind of ferment a little bit mm-hmm. and it aided with digestion. And so that's what a shrub is. And it does have a little bit of sugar in it. That's traditionally how shrubs are made, but it's because of the acidity of the vinegar, it's mm-hmm. meant to be added into something.
Okay.
Like a sparkling water, or it's really good with kombucha. It's really, really good in like a gin and tonic. But it's just a great way to get both your elderberry and your apple cider vinegar. And it's really, really good. It makes a great soda alternative. But my kids love it. Like with summer coming up, it's what I drink like all summer.
Really interesting. Because I actually was just reading recently too about apple cider vinegar. I think it's like, I don't know, like 15 minutes before a meal can actually balance your blood sugar too. So it's really good for that as well.
Yes. And, but there's all, you can have shrubs of any different fruit. Like there's peach shrub and Old Norse shrub is Jamie Swafford is a friend of mine, and that's kind of where I learned about shrubs, and his are so good. But the shrub is definitely something to try. But then we have our tincture, which is a great kind of travel or to go option. It's a glycerin based tincture, and it's delicious. I love the way it tastes. My kids love the way it tastes, and I travel a lot, and it's so convenient to bring with you on trips because it's a little 2-ounce bottle, and it's just a dropper full that you take. And gosh, so I just went with my daughter to Portugal, and I brought it with us. And gosh, this is a little bit embarrassing to talk about, but I mean, it's a you know, travel constipation is a real thing. Like,
sure, yeah.
You know, and the glycerin in the tincture helps with that. Like, I did not have that problem. I took a little bit every day and to support my immune system, and it also helps prevent constipation. Because, you know, you think of like glycerin suppositories for glycerin just discovered. But so the tincture is an all like a kind of to go option of elderberry, and it's only elderberry. It doesn't have the honey. It doesn't have the cinnamon, ginger, cloves. So with the tincture that you're not get, or the extracts or the shrub also, you're not going to get really the allergy benefits. Because the honey that we use is our kind of magic ingredient for the allergy benefits. We use a local raw seasonal honey.
Okay.
So it's helping fight what's blooming right now. Like right now we've got our late spring honey, because what's blooming in late spring is different than what's blooming in early spring. And we're soon going to be switching to our summer honey. But all the ingredients in the syrup, the cinnamon, ginger, cloves, and elderberry are all very anti-inflammatory. So that combined with the honey, with the local honey, is just a really amazing way to help fight allergies.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. So, you know, aside from the business side of things, and obviously you're very passionate about, you know, elderberry in general and the benefits you've seen for your family, what do you feel like the whole transition, just to kind of go back to the beginning when you were kind of getting into holistic living, I'd love to know more about coming from the pharmaceutical world to coming to the world of, you know, holistic remedies. Like, I would love to know kind of your thought process on it now, because you mentioned you're not on any prescription drugs. Like, do you feel like you've made a complete 180, like someone who came from kind of the opposite end of the spectrum to your perspective on, like pharmaceuticals, alternative remedies? Like, where do you kind of land with it now?
Absolutely. And you know, looking back, I think, okay, is it orthorexic? Is that the term when you're like obsessed with your health in like a healthy way? I think that's the term, orthorexic.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Because I know there's one with exercising too much that is similar. Right. I think it is health.
So I would venture to say that I was probably orthorexic. And I kind of became obsessed. And I mean, granted, my husband had this condition and I wanted to learn as much as I could as fast, but I kind of took it to the extreme. It actually brought me a lot of anxiety. Like I was kind of overly obsessed with what I was eating and is this okay? Is this going to harm me if I eat this or if I don't do that? I kind of took it to the extreme. And like I mentioned that I was vegan or totally plant-based for a while. And mm-hmm. it was, looking back, I see it kind of how stressful that was at the time, and to try and make it all work and do all these things. And I wish that I had kind of done a little baby steps a little bit more. But yet, again, at the time I wanted to make all these changes and do all this stuff, really regret much, but I do now I'm a lot more balanced. Like I follow an 80-20 lifestyle, which is like, and I kind of try and apply that to everything, like my makeup included. Like I have all clean makeup except for my Bobbi Brown eyeliner.
Right. You know,
like, the rest of it is all clean except for my Bobbi Brown, because I have not found something that I like better than that.
Right.
And like my diet now, when my son was born, he had eczema and a lot of food allergies. Mm. And I worked with Dr. Sheila Kilbane, who is an integrative pediatrician here in Charlotte, and she put me on a gut healing diet, and I had to start eating grass-fed meat. Like I could not be, you can't, it's kind of impossible to have a go on a gut healing diet and be plant-based. Like, it yeah. just doesn't, it doesn't work. And so I had to start eating meat again. And I found, like, I was still okay. And
right.
So, like, I didn't die from eating meat. And so, but I still eat, like, 80, 90% plant-based. And I'll have, like, clean grass-fed meat every, you know, a few times a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to be such a pain at, like, Thanksgiving and holidays, like, but now I'm going to eat the turkey, you know, right. at Thanksgiving, and it's not every night, but just like, just, and when I go on vacation, I indulge, but when I get back and kind of beforehand, I try and be really good. So I just try and be more balanced, and like beauty care products, like I still have not found a shampoo and conditioner that doesn't make my hair look like crap, that mm-hmm. doesn't have one or two of the kind of bad ingredients in it. And right. so it's kind of all, I just try and balance a little bit more. And, but I do, you know, I love integrative medicine because it is that balance. Like I go to Dr. Cami Benton. You know, she went to medical school. She has a medical background, but then she also has a holistic background where, you know, she tries, when appropriate, natural remedies first. But, you know, I had a really bad sty last year, like a horrible mm-hmm. sty. My eye was like swollen shut and I had to have an antibiotic, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. it's like, so it's, I think it's the best of both worlds. But, yeah. you know, kind of the before, like I look back and I, so right after my husband's diagnosis, they also sent us to the fertility doctor, like immediately, like literally the day of his diagnosis, because they didn't know the effects of the drug on becoming a father.
Yeah.
And so I had to start the whole fertility process, and I found out that I had fibroids.
Okay.
And so I had, and this was before I made any health changes. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I didn't even ask the doctor, like, well, what causes fibroids? Or is, you know, there anything in my diet that I can change to get rid of these fibroids? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is there anything I need to balance or any supplement? You know, I didn't even ask. They just, like, had scheduled surgery and took them out.
Yeah.
And whereas now I would have, you know, asked those questions, like, well, what's causing these fibroids?
Yeah.
You know, what can I do to change this? Like mm-hmm. kind of figuring out, I like figuring out the root cause instead of, you know, just covering up symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So do you feel like, for those, you know, listening that might be interested in your husband's journey a little bit, have you all, aside from the drug that you all decided, you know, he has to have for his particular condition, is he able to do things, for his, so I know leukemia is always a tricky thing. Is it that he can't with CBL get to a place where he's ever going to be like in remission, or how does that work?
Well, he did a trial where he stopped taking it, mm-hmm. taking the medication, and was very closely monitored, and his numbers, and there are a lot of, well, not a lot, but there are some people that have been able to stay off this class of drug. It's called a TKI. Okay. They were able to stay off their TKIs, and but his numbers started coming back up, and I don't think that there's really anything that we could do mm-hmm. like to control that.
Yeah.
Like with eating or diet or exercise or anything.
Right.
But you know, I can say that there, so I'm in a lot of CML forums, and the side effects to these medications are major. And there's a lot of people that have to go on disability because they just can't work anymore because there's a lot of pain. And I do attribute the lifestyle changes that we made to his decreased inflammation.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he doesn't have those major side effects. And I always try to like encourage these people, because their doctors aren't telling them like quit eating the standard American diet.
Right.
They're, in fact, my husband was a patient at MD Anderson, you know, one of the top cancer centers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked his specialist, who's like literally the top CML specialist in the world, like if there's any diet changes that could help. And he was like, oh no, you eat whatever you want. And so yeah, lost a lot of credibility.
That's so crazy.
In my eyes.
So crazy.
Which just blows my mind. It just blows my mind. But then he did go see an integrative oncologist. And I have to toot my horn a little bit right here, because she told him, she said, well, just keep listening to your wife. Just keep listening to your wife, because you're already doing like 90% of the things that you're doing is what I would be telling you to do, that she's making you do.
Yeah.
And so, but I think that there is, you know, so much, I love the connection between diet. And, well, I don't love the connection between diet and disease, but I think it's so empowering that mm-hmm. you can control so much with what you eat or what you don't eat. And,
yeah.
And I wish more doctors got that. And I wish that was a huge focus in medical school. And mm-hmm. it's so frustrating that they don't even mention it at all, really.
Yeah, no. It's just like all Band-Aids and quick fixes and pills.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So, yeah, do you feel like because that's interesting that you mentioned going to an integrative oncologist. So do you feel like, you know, you started obviously with this CML, you know, like the best of the best, and you're going through this journey. Did going through the journey of cancer with your husband and probably seeing quite a lot of doctors and specialists, did that shift kind of your mindset a little bit in that journey, as the more doctors you were around, where you were like, okay, you know, these things seem like red flags, let's try a different type of doctor? Like, did that kind of evolve as you were going through that journey?
Well, it totally did. And it's I don't want to say I don't trust doctors, but I, gosh, I'm trying not to, like, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, because I just found that, you know, the integrative model is what is best for me. And because I think that there definitely is a place for like thank God for this TKI medication that my husband's sure. taking. And but then also thank goodness for the clean foods that he can eat to help manage the side effects.
Yeah.
But I do like when my daughter was, when my kids were little, and I would go to the pediatrician and they would start advising about different things. And I would just, most of the things that they were telling me to do, I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not doing any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to like totally discredit doctors, but like,
no.
But I think I just wish that they were trained more in nutrition.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's more so, even I always say, it's just an acknowledgement that it's a broken system that produces then kind of these, I don't know, I would just call it not complete ideologies, right? There's like a piece of the puzzle that many of them are trained in, but there's a lot of pieces missing because they were never trained to think a certain way or to, you know, act in a certain manner. And so I've just gotten to a point where it's just like, I don't even necessarily blame them. It's really the system that they're pumped into. And thankfully some doctors have chosen to, yeah, do things like integrative medicine, or, you know, do go to medical school and then also go, you know what, I'm going to be a functional practitioner instead, or whatever it might be.
But yeah, no, I think it's really interesting. It's a good conversation, I think, to have, just because so many people who I know, at least, you know, either listen to my podcast or come to my page or whatever it might be, that it's a consistent conversation of having at one point or another with some doctor somewhere, an unfortunate, you know, situation or something that they wish that was different. And I think just kind of normalizing the conversation is important too, because these red flags and, you know, our intuition are so important. Like, you know, that doctor saying, listen to your wife, was because, you know, you had sat down and your intuition had told you this doesn't feel right. Like some of these things aren't adding up, and I'm going to do my own research. And it led you to, you know, all sorts of choices that, like you said, have made your husband's experience with CML different from other people's.
Yes. Yes, I agree completely.
Yeah. And that's so incredibly important. So, yeah, well, I think that to kind of like wrap up some of this conversation, what do you want people, like what's something that you would encourage people who are listening to do, whether it be, you know, in general, like try holistic remedies, whether it be something you want to share about your company, elderberry syrup, you know, facts that you feel like they should know, you know, in this episode that you'd love to get across to them, whatever it might be, what would you kind of want them to know if you were, you know, chatting with them face to face?
Oh, gosh. Just kind of don't discredit the power of Mother Nature. I remember, it's funny, my dad, when I first started this journey, he just like kind of rolled his eyes at elderberry syrup and all these crunchy changes that I was making, and he just kind of thought I was losing it and like, oh my gosh, he thought I was just going crazy.
Yeah.
But now he juices celery every morning. He does not run out of his syrup. Like if he starts getting low on a bottle, he starts getting anxious. And he has gotten off of a few medications, and his like blood work came back, and his doctors were just like blown away by how healthy is. And so it's just like kind of never, I don't think it's ever too late to make these changes. And I do encourage you to do it like in baby steps. Like you don't have to feel like you have to like throw away all your makeup and all your
shampoos.
You don't have to do it all at once. Just kind of, and there's so many people out there that are doing it and kind of can give you good advice on, oh, this is a great option. Like I was so upset when I had to, or not when I had to, but like when I love Lubriderm lotion. Like I used Lubriderm, and I can't even say that anymore, Lubriderm, for like 20 years probably. And when I switched off of that, I thought, I was like, oh God, I'm never going to find anything as good. And now I don't miss it at all. Like
yeah.
I don't miss any of the, everything out there is just as good or better. And you don't have those awful chemicals in it anymore.
Yeah.
But just kind of give yourself some grace and baby steps, but it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's so true too about like people being very attached to something, thinking, yeah, they'll never find a replacement.
Yes.
Or, you know, or even just not giving up. I always tell people, you might have to try 3, 4, 5 things until you find it, but you will find it.
I remember my mascara was one of those things. I wore L'Oreal Voluminous and thought that was just the best. Like I could not ever find. And now I use Thrive mascara.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
I know a lot of people who swapped to that one.
And it's clean.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so true. Yeah. It's just, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and you'll definitely get there. So yeah, I think that's a great message. So if people want to connect with you, where is the best place to connect with you? So whether it be like, you know, Instagram, Facebook, email, like obviously I'll link them up in the show notes, but where is the best place for them to kind of find you?
I would say Instagram, and we're at Sweets Elderberry. And so there's SWEETS Elderberry, or we're on Facebook, and I try and put some kind of clean and healthy living tips in, or, you know, things that I'm doing or trying and stories on Instagram. And so it's not all elderberry in stories. And then our website, we have our retailers, and there's a list of all our retailers where you can buy it on our website, which is www.sweetselderberry.com. And then we also ship, so you can order on our website.
That's awesome. Yeah. And do you guys ship to Canada or is it just the U.S.?
Just the U.S.
Okay. Want to check it out. Oh, and I will also put my discount code because I do have a discount code. So.
Oh, wonderful.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Detox Life podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be interviewed on my podcast, or you would just like to connect with me or send me a comment, a question, please do. I love to connect with you all. You can find me at The Detoxed Life on Instagram, or you can email me at hello@kellyannecarpenter.com. That's hello@Kelly, Kelly, Ann, Ann, Carpenter.com.